Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study. Our Father's Word, how fantastic. Now, what I'm going to do to you, a picture is better than 1,000 words or speaks 1,000 words sometime. And rather than taking you through the land allotment, that is to say, how the land was distributed to all 12 tribes, you'll remember that Reuben, as we closed in the last lecture, along with Gad and a half a tribe of Manasseh, were sent back over to the east side of Jordan, for they'd been the shock troops for their brothers all the way through in their war against taking Jericho, and their thumping at Ai and then taking of Ai and the various strongholds, and Joshua sent them home. Now, I'm going to show you how the land was allotted by picture rather than leading you through it for 3 or 4 chapters here, and we'll take back up in chapter 21, verse 23 here in a little bit. But first, let's go to a map of the area of Israel, and we see there as we come in, let's spot first, this would be the Dead Sea, okay? This would be Lake Genesaret, where Jesus spent so much time. This is the Jordan River that runs between these two. That is the boundary line from east to west. Now, Jericho sits right here, and Ai sits right there. But let's identify the tribes. Reuben, of course, being the elder, is the first position, and he is positioned here on the east side, Reuben. Then comes Gad, and then comes half of the tribe of Manasseh. Okay, and then when we have half of the tribe of Manasseh, we cross over, and the other half of Manasseh is here. Then we have Zebulun, Naphtali, and Asher, and then Dan, the furthest north. And as we come back down, then we have just below that half tribe of Manasseh, we have Ephraim. And sometimes the 10 tribes are called under the heading of Ephraim because he was the larger of those tribes. And then came Judah, of course, here at Jerusalem, this land of Judea right here. And Benjamin right in here. And then way down south we have Simeon. And then part of Dan right here. But here you have the Dead Sea, the Jordan River. Remember again, we came in around this way. We gave the first to the eldest, which is to say Reuben, and then Gad, and then half of Manasseh, the other half of Manasseh, and then coming in with Zebulun, Naphtali, Asher, and Dan, and then dropping down with Ephraim, Benjamin, Judah, and after Judah, then we have Simeon way down south. So there, that is the way it was situated, and probably this speaks 1,000 words rather than reading those chapters, which words kind of, unless you can picture it in your mind, but that's how it was allotted to the children. Now, remember, we've sent Reuben home, and anytime you split a family and communication doesn't really take place, you're going to have trouble. Lack of communication is where trouble starts. And that's why a family should always communicate and explain in detail what you're doing, just in a casual way, but keep informed. And you're going to see a prime example, and Father wants you to know, because we split up, we divide Manasseh, and we got Reuben and we got Gad away from all the other tribes, there's going to be a lack of communication and there's going to be trouble. So let's pick it up, if we may, with chapter 21, verse 43. And verse 43 reads, with that word of wisdom from our Father. And the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he sware to give unto their fathers. That's as we described it. And they possessed it and dwelt therein, dwelling in those geographical locations that I pointed out to you. 44, and the Lord gave them rest round about. They had peace there, according to all that he sware unto their fathers. And there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. God keeps his word. This is why you always want to stick with your father. He always, the promises that you claim, the promises he made to you, to all of his children, you got to claim them. They won't do you any good if you don't claim them. And you got to claim them for yourself. And believe, and your father will always honor his promise. So knowing the promises of God are extremely important. Well, how do I find that out? Read the letter he sent you. Okay. It's called the Bible. It's his letter to you, instructing you. Verse 45, to complete the chapter, there fail not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel, all came to pass. It always does. There may be trouble along the way, as there was trouble along the way. Look at the trouble at Ai when they forgot to take God into the equation. There was trouble. But then when they got back with the Father, that trouble was handled. And God will never allow you to be exposed to more trouble than you can handle. The more trouble you have, the better he thinks you can handle it. Chapter 22, verse 1. Never divide a family without communication. It's important. Listen to it. Verse 1 reads, then Joshua called the Reubenites, that's Reuben's children, and the Gadites, that's the children of Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh, verse 2, and said unto them, ye have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, and have obeyed my voice in all that I commanded you. You've done real good. I'm proud of you. They were the shock troops, basically, that in taking the rest of the property after the rest of the people had helped them on the east side of Jordan take their land. But they'd been away from their families for quite a while now, okay? Verse 3, you have not left your brethren these many days unto this day, but have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God. You kept his word right to the letter. Verse 4, and now the Lord your God hath given rest unto your brethren. I mean, they're at peace here. We've got the land secured. And as he promised them, therefore now return ye and get you unto your tents, your families, and unto the land of your possession, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you on the other side of Jordan. That's to say, the east side. And there they have it. They're going to be at home there. They're going to make their home there, which they already have, the rest of the family. Verse 5, but take diligent heed to do the commandment of the law, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. In other words, you're sold out to the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not of our Heavenly Father, who is Emmanuel, God with us. So, who would say Emmanuel, God with us, the one he sent, that this Joshua, being Yeshua in the Hebrew tongue, meaning Yahweh's Savior, same name as Jesus, okay, this type of Savior. Verse 6. So Joshua blessed them and sent them away, and they went unto their tents. So here we split the families, okay, the 12 tribes. And it always brings trouble if or unless you communicate. Okay. Verse 7. Now, to the one half of the tribe of Manasseh, Moses had given possession in Bashan, that's real fruitful, but unto the other half thereof gave Joshua among their brethren on this side Jordan westward, on the west side. And when Joshua sent them away also unto their tents, then he blessed them. They had a meeting, he blessed them, they're on the way. 8, and he spake unto them, saying, return with much riches unto your tents, and with very much cattle, with silver, and with gold and with brass and with iron and with very much raiment. Divide the spoil of your enemies with your brethren. In other words, when you get home, they had taken a lot of material from the enemy, and as much as they had destroyed them, and they had it to take home with them, divided up with the people. Verse 9. And the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and half tribe of Manasseh returned and departed from the children of Israel out of Shiloh. That'd be where the church was at that time. That was Bethel. That's where the house of God was. Shiloh being that place of peace, okay, at that time, which is in the land of Canaan, to go into the country of Gilead, to the land of their possession, whereof they were possessed, according to the word of the Lord by the hand of Moses. Every allotment of land laid out, conquered, taken, and they're living just as God ordered it. Verse 10. And when they came into the borders of Jordan, right there at the river, they are in the land of Canaan. The children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh built there an altar by Jordan, a great oil altar to see to. In other words, they had crossed away from Shiloh, the true house of God. And now they built them an altar, but who did they build it to? They built it to our Father. Okay. But now when you divide people, stories get started, gossip. Let's see what happens. Verse 11. And the children of Israel heard say, behold, the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and half the tribe of Manasseh have built an altar over against the land of Canaan. They worked that word Canaan in there. In the borders of Jordan at the passage of the children of Israel. They sure did. Verse 12. And when the children of Israel heard of it, the whole congregation of the children of Israel gathered themselves together at Shiloh, the house of God, to go up to war against them. I mean, here, their brothers were the shock troops that helped them take their own land, where by now they're at rest. And because of gossip, they're ready to go to battle and kill their own brothers. Why? Lack of communication. That's the lesson here. You want trouble in your family? Just don't communicate. And I guarantee you trouble will follow. Big time trouble. You know, when people follow Christ, they have love within themselves. And that love needs to be cultivated. It needs to come out. It needs to communicate. And in the fairness that God told us to bring forth. But don't listen to gossip. A Christian should always discount gossip. Always nip it in the bud. If somebody really comes down with something, say, I want to know where you heard that and who said it. Take it back, and usually you're going to have somebody squirming, and maybe somebody lied. Okay, somebody made something up. And it can do hurt. It can cause great harm, all for nothing. Okay, so they're ready to go to war. This is bad. The next verse, please. Verse 15, 13 rather. And the children of Israel sent unto the children of Reuben, and to the children of Gad, and the other half of Manasseh, unto the land of Gilead, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest. Phinehas means mouth of brass, and boy, he had a mouth of brass, all right. Don't want to be too hard on him, but they've sent him over. Eleazar being the son of Aaron that took over the priesthood after God killed his two older brothers because they partook of the strange fire, strange teachings, gossip. Okay. So we got old Phinehas. He's going out there, mouth of brass, to straighten stuff out. Now, he is a priest. He's of the Levitical priesthood. And he's going over there. What does he do? 14. And with him 10 princes of each chief house, a prince throughout all the tribes of Israel. And each one was an head of the house of their fathers among the thousands of Israel. I mean, we got muckety ducks here. I mean, we're right at the top of the chain. We've got the best. Every tribe communicated. Now, out of all of our travels, where's God? Who's talking to him? Did this priest talk to God? Did he say, Father, we're hearing things here. I need your guidance. Oh, no. They're ready to go to war because of gossip. They left our father out of the equation. Priest, Levitical priest, I mean the very son of Aaron, of Eleazar being a grandson, I should say, didn't even communicate with God. So, it is, listen to me very carefully. This is important. It is bad when you do not communicate with family. It is worse when you don't communicate with the Father. I want to say that again. It is bad when a family doesn't communicate, but when you do not communicate with God, that's worse. When you leave him out of the equation, he doesn't like it, and you are cut off. If you don't have God's blessings, it's a tough old world out there, friend. Bad, bad things happen when you're cut off from God. You want to always be real careful of that. Let's go with the next verse. Verse 15. And they came unto the children of Reuben, and to the children of Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh, unto the land of Gilead, and they spake with them, saying, I mean, they got old brass mouth, has got his mouth running without putting his brain in motion. Listen to what he says, 16. Thus saith the whole congregation of the Lord. It was the congregation that said it, not God. Got it? What trespass is this that ye have committed against the God of Israel, to turn away this day from following the Lord, in that ye have builded you an altar, that you might rebel this day against the Lord? Old brass jaws going, okay? This is untrue. Why? Because of lack of communication. Trouble, trouble, trouble. Verse 17. Is the iniquity of Peor too little for us, from which we are not cleansed unto this day, although thou wast a plague in the congregation of the Lord? What he's talking about here in Numbers 25, verses 3 through about 6, one of the Israelites right in front of Moses went out and grabbed a Midianitish woman, took her into his tent, and Phinehas, this brass jaw, went in and run a javelin through the man's back and the woman's tummy and nailed him to the ground because it was not right in God's eyes. Okay, that's what he's talking about there. He said, we haven't got rid of that yet. And it was this brass jaw that accomplished that. And rightfully so in that case. Okay, verse 18. But that you must turn away this day from following the Lord, question. Oh, he's coming down hard on them. And it will be, seeing you rebel today against the Lord, that tomorrow he will be wroth with the whole congregation of Israel. He's going to be mad at all of us. You see what the lack of communication will do? Head priest, lying like a dog, leaving God out of the equation, making accusation after accusation. He didn't even ask yet, why did you do it? And who is it for? Not one question. 19. Notwithstanding, if the land of your possession be unclean, then pass you over into the land of the possession of the Lord, wherein the Lord's tabernacle dwelleth, Shiloh, and take possession among us, but rebel not against the Lord, nor rebel against us in building you an altar beside the altar of the Lord our God. You think maybe he might slow down here a minute, old brass jaw, and find out what's going on? Verse 20. And the brass jaw keeps going. Did not Achan being trouble in the Hebrew tongue, the one that took the Babylonian robe, the accursed thing, Achan did. Did not Achan the son of Zerah commit a trespass in the accursed thing? and wrath fell on all the congregation of Israel. And that man perished, not alone in his iniquity. God killed the whole bunch because they all practiced false religion when God told them how to worship. A lot of accusations going on here. He still hasn't said or asked, who is this altar built to? Verse 21, then the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh answered, finally, and said unto the heads of the thousands of Israel, 22, the Lord God of gods, the Lord God of gods, he knoweth, two times for emphasis, and Israel he shall know. For if it be in rebellion, or if in transgression against the Lord, save us now, not this day. He said, that's not what it's about, and we're not worried about it. Okay, verse 23, that we have built us an altar to turn from following the Lord. Lies, not true. Or if to offer their own burnt offering or meat offerings, or if to offer peace offerings their own, let the Lord himself require it. Why? They would never offer anything unless it was at Shiloh. This was simply an altar where they had their own church, let's say, in their own midst on that side of Jordan. They did not offer sacrifices to God on it. Verse 24. And if we have not rather done it for fear of this thing, saying, in time to come, your children might speak unto our children, saying, what have ye to do with the Lord God of Israel? We wanted a church there. We wanted a place of worship. 25, for the Lord hath made Jordan a border between us and you, ye children of Reuben and children of Gad, ye have no part in the Lord, so shall your children make our children cease from fearing the Lord. We didn't want that said, so we built a church here, an altar. 26, therefore we said, let us now prepare to build us an altar, not for burnt offering, nor for sacrifice. We'll still go to Shiloh. 27, but that it may be a witness between us and you and our generations after us, that we might do the service of the Lord before him with our burnt offerings and with our sacrifices and with our peace offerings, that your children may not say to our children in time to come, you have no part in the Lord. We wanted a church here too. That's fair game, okay? That's brilliant. That's as it should be. 28, they did not understand, they did not break one of God's laws or commandments. Guess who has broken commandments? Phinehas, old brass jaw. I don't want to be too hard on him. He was a good priest. Everybody messes up at one time or the other. That's why you want to beware of man. Don't ever put all your faith in man. You will be disappointed. Keep your faith in Almighty God. Look upward and live. Okay, next verse, verse 28. Therefore said we that it shall be when they should so say to us or to our generations in time to come, that we may say again, behold, the pattern of the altar of the Lord which our fathers made, not for burnt offerings nor for sacrifices, but it is a witness between us and you. It is a witness that we love the Lord God Almighty. They were about to go to war over this. Why? Lack of communication in the family. Make note, lack of communication, worst of all, with Almighty God. Verse 29, God forbid that we should rebel against the Lord and turn this day from following the Lord to build an altar for burnt offerings, for meat offerings, or for sacrifices beside the altar that the Lord our God that is before his tabernacle. That would be at Shiloh. Okay. We're not trying to replace it. 30, and when Phinehas the priest... I mean, old Ratchet Jaw stopped long enough to finally find out what's truly happening. Communication. And Phinehas, the priest, and the princes of the congregation and heads of the thousands of Israel which were with him, heard the words of the children of Reuben, and the children of Gad, and the children of Manasseh spake. It pleased them. Plumb happy about it. So, you see, communication solves a lot of problems. Somebody, there's a priest here that sure needs to be talking to the Lord. 31, and when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, said unto the children of Reuben, and to the children of Gad, and to the children of Manasseh, this day we perceive that the Lord is among us, because ye have not committed this trespass against the Lord. Now you have delivered the children of Israel out of the hand of the Lord. Kind of, it would have been a little better if somebody had communicated with God. He could have saved them a lot of trouble. To say, you know, what would God say? Find out. Discuss it. Find out what you're up against. See what they have in their mind. They're your brothers. They're the shock troops that you use to help secure this land. And they have just now got to go back to their families. You've had your families with you all this time. And you were ready to go to war with them. Lack of communication. And unfortunately, many times this comes down to me. Okay. Me would never do anything wrong. Me would never make a mistake. Me. You need to communicate. You see, you're not the only person in this world. And there are people that we must get along with, and communication does that. Next verse, please. Verse 32. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar the priest, and the princes returned from the children of Reuben and from the children of Gad, over there on the east side of the river, out of the land of Gilead, unto the land of Canaan, to the children of Israel, and brought them word again. Finally, the true word, not a bunch of gossip, not a bunch of misleading untruths, but the real truth. Verse 33, and the thing pleased the children of Israel. And the children of Israel blessed God and did not intend to go up against them in battle to destroy the land wherein the children of Reuben and Gad dwelt. Why should they? The very shock troops, again, I will say, that helped them take their land, they were willing to destroy them because of lack of communication. Don't ever let that thought slip away from you, and how gossip, mistrust, lack of communication can cause problems. A lot of hurt, uselessly. I mean, hurt that is brought on by gossip, or, you know, when people are apart, their minds do strange things. Well, I wonder why they did that. Well, probably they just did it to spite me. Poor me. And pretty soon, things begin to build with lack of communication until you're a poor me, baby. Just, I mean, the whole world picking on you pretty soon. And everybody loves you, and you just have an imaginary fit over nothing. God loves his children. Don't ever. It's bad. I'm going to say it again. And the lesson I want you to learn from this chapter, it's bad not to communicate with family. It's worse not to communicate with God. To ask his leading. To ask his word. Ask his way. And be blessed. Okay. You know, what would our father have done had they gone to war and killed some of his children? He loves them. He would have been really unhappy. I know that when God picks priests like the tribe of Levi, supposedly to bring forth God's word to the people, and then you have a stumble bum like Brassjaw on this case. Otherwise, he was all right. I don't want to down him too much. But in this case, he really dropped the ball big time. and what he would have had to have answered to. That's why you want to always do your homework. You want to make sure it's God's word that is talking and not some man. Not some imagination that is imagined vain things when the person hasn't done a thing in the world to you. They love you. You can build up a case in your mind that just bubbles over if you're not careful. That's a bad spirit when a person will allow themselves to let their imagination be a spirit within themselves that can really wreck your life, okay? Get rid of it. Always search for truth. Truth sets you free. Had they learned the truth as they did here, they had nothing to worry about. They were all free. Next verse, please. Verse 34 to complete this chapter. And the children of Reuben and the children of Gad called the altar Ed. For it shall be a witness between us that the Lord is God. In other words, Ed in the Hebrew tongue means witness. And this was a witness there right by the River Jordan where the families were separated to say, we love him too on this side of the river. That's what communication is about, dear one. What a chapter that he would work in after this allotment of land to let you know how families can get troubled over nothing. How families can find fault when there is no fault. Just a little at rest, maybe too much. Don't ever let Satan work into your family and pass around his little buzz bombs. Do you know what so-and-so did in your mind? Okay, no, I don't know what they did. Well, why don't you ask them? Find out the truth. Don't imagine stuff, okay? That'll get you in trouble. And you know something? It's not real. It's certainly not of God. One thing not to communicate with family, worse to not communicate with God. All right, don't miss the next lecture. Bless your heart. You listen a moment, won't you please?